the next target in the war on terror is supposed to be Iraq. According to Bush and Blair and Clinton administration officials and others, we cannot tolerate Saddam Hussein because he is so evil that he committed the ultimate crime. He even used chemical weapons against his own people. Those charges are completely accurate. They're missing only three little words, namely, "with our support," which continued without any change for years after the ultimate atrocity. He's also charged with seeking to develop weapons of mass destruction, which I presume is probably true. But that charge also omits a slight fact, namely that the U.S. and Britain continued to provide him with the means to develop weapons of mass destruction well after his worst crimes, when he was a far greater danger than he is now. All of that means straight out that we can't possibly take these official pretexts seriously, and anyone who even repeats them is just saying, "I'm a servant of power and a total hypocrite." There are more obvious reasons. There are reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are reasons and obvious reasons to overthrow the old friend and trading partner of George Bush the First. Namely, he's sitting on the largest oil reserves in the Middle East, after Saudi Arabia. And one way or another, the United States is likely to try to regain control over them, and the post-September 11th circumstances do provide a window of opportunity. However, the project faces several problems. The most fundamental one, I think, is trying to find an acceptable successor regime. And that's not simple. The successor regime has to meet some conditions. It cannot allow any democratic tendencies, because if it does, the Shiite majority might influence policy towards accommodation with Iran, and the U.S. doesn't want that. And furthermore, the Kurdish minority might gain rights that would threaten U.S.-backed repression of Turkey's Kurdish population, which remains very severe. That issue is not a new one. It rose in April 1991, right after the Gulf War. At that time, a Shiite rebellion took place in the South, which might have overthrown the monster, but the Bush administration intervened. It refused to allow rebelling Iraqi generals access to captured equipment, and it authorized Saddam to use military helicopters and other armed means to drown the rebellion in blood. Later, Stormin Norman, who was in charge, claimed that he'd been snookered by the devious Saddam. He hadn't realized that when he authorized him to use air power, he would actually use it. The basic problem at that time was explained by Thomas Friedman, who was then chief diplomatic correspondent of the New York Times, so he's articulating State Department concerns. He pointed out that the best of all worlds for the United States would be an iron-fisted Iraqi military junta ruling Iraq just as Saddam did, much to the pleasure of U.S. allies Saudi Arabia and Turkey, and of course the boss in Washington. But since clones couldn't be found, the U.S. was stuck with second best, namely Saddam himself. Well, that problem still remains. Currently, the State Department and the CIA are reported to be developing contacts with Sunni Iraqi generals, recent defectors, and they might be suitable replacements as clones. But here there are some problems, too. The favorite, General Khazraji, who's Saddam's former chief of staff, he may not be able to make it to a planned meeting in Washington in a couple of weeks because he's under investigation in Denmark for war crimes, charged with participation in the gassing of the Kurds at Halabja. So some difficulties.